like the largest family and the largest family. But they were benevolent. They've been in town a half million or so for a I figured
you don't?
I know. Okay. A vanilla is somebody that doesn't find this to you. You just know me. You're what society calls plain.
Inside the box.
In that thing. You're inside the box and then you get freaks like me. No, I'm joking.
You can be different in other ways, like you're not into BDSM.
Yeah.
But there's a reason you're with me.
Supposedly, those of us who practice BDSM, we score better on a personality and psychological measure. For some strange reason, it's listed in DSM-5 as an unusual sexual fixation, which causes a lot of controversy between us kinks and the psychiatrist, especially since they're mixed on whether that this should even be classified as a mental disorder. So this study that I read is actually about trying to get us out. And it's only a disorder if it causes harm. I have a problem with that, and that's one thing that I want to talk to a couple people about, because I might just very well be sick. So the study was published back in May of this year, and it was in the Journal of Sexual Medicine. And they
there's no pictures. I checked.
Oh, well, never mind.
Yeah. Well, it's a really awesome magazine. It's your into learning. I used to be a medical lab tech, and used to do lab talks here. So, although I no longer do them, I'm still a nerd. And I
what you get up to in your own free time is no one else's business.
We have 250 acres of pure mud. So, we're supposed to be less neurotic, more open, more aware, more extroverted, we're less sensitive to rejection, and more secure in our relationships. So for some of you, now this study was done on basic BDSM practitioners, and I'm thinking that would probably leave me out, but the rest of you are safe. So my first question, I want to know where the basics start and stop, and when we've gone beyond. I have some problems with this, even though I'm really for this study. I also, because I'm a nerd, I have some things against it. And one of the biggest things, I will tell you and be honest, is the fact that they chose 904 BDSM practitioners, and only 400 vanilla.
Oh, the samples aren't equal.
That, yeah. Yeah, so, and for me,
I'm wondering how they decided who went in their vanilla control group. Was
well,
it self-selected?
They put a link out there. One link was on a BDSM site.
Mm-hmm.
Another link was in Women's Day or some woman's magazine.
Oh, those women, right.
Yeah, you know.
Because women are so vanilla.
Well.
We are, yeah, right.
You notice how I was waiting to try to figure out how to answer that one?
They could have separate from selection by.
Yeah.
And that's one of the things that they...
Like, how do you ask somebody to report whether or not they're vanilla? They don't know about BDSM.
Yeah.
How are they
going to
know?
Well, I think some of the questions. Yeah.
Are they vanilla?
Well, I think it was more like, are you into? And if you're into this,
is it because daddy didn't love you? No.
I get, but it's
take
it's like
it from me, some of the studies are really effing stupid.
Yeah.
Now, there is a part where they are afraid that the people who did practice BDSM might have chose the answers they did according to the not wanting to become stereotyped, so they didn't answer honestly. But they said that
well, that's my problem with all self-selection questions, basically, is that the people who are answering them may not want to answer honestly.
Why couldn't I have had you in my lab 10 years ago? That was my whole thing. That was my whole point too. Although I fully believe in this study. I know a lot of people who are as out there as I am, and need a little bit of help, and they're not vanilla. And I know some.
Just a little bit.
I only need a little bit now.
A little bit.
I've been able to control where I aim. My first question was where you think it starts and where crackpots.
You were kind of like talking about the study.
Well, I believe
What is basic BDSM?
Yeah, what is basic?
I guess trust, right?
Well, they're the things you have with BDSM. Well, actually, it's consent.
I think it's just the fact that you're thinking about power and consent. Even just asking the question makes it not vanilla. Like, in my mind anyways, vanilla is when you just take it for granted. Like, whatever you're doing, you don't... It's not pre-negotiated, or you don't stop and check in with the person. Basically.
It's just how you think sex should be, in general.
Oh, okay.
Maybe that's my bias.
Okay, thank you. Excuse me. Would you have something to add to that? Would you have an opinion?
I have lots of opinions. What am I
opining upon?
Basic BDSM?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure the question is meaningful. It's going to vary from person to person, but it's just a definition.
Oh.
BDSM is all about introducing powerfully and consent, but what basic depends on who you're at. That's one of those how high is up kind of questions.
That is very true.
It depends how far up you're going.
Exactly.
It's a good analogy.
How is
a raven
like
you're
writing down? Exactly. It's not really a meaningful analogy. For the context.
Did they say anything in the study about how they defined it?
No, that was one of the questions.
Yeah, okay.
That because it was basically when is it basic?
Oh, that was in their question.
Yeah, and when is it psychotic? And it's consent.
Yeah.
So when you...
Is that the alternative, basic versus, like,
mental
illness kind of?
Where does basic, enjoyable BDSM stop and psychotic BDSM, those who blame...
I can give you a far better answer to that question. I would say, well, I mean, your answer of it's to do with consent is a big one, but I mean, when you're dealing with alcohol, the way Alcoholics Anonymous determines whether or not you're an alcoholic, it's not how much you drink, it's are you drinking so much that it is interfering with your life?
Mm-hmm.
I would say the same test really applies there. If BDSM is something that you're doing and you're enjoying it and it's making your sex life more fun, then I would say you don't have a problem. If BDSM has dominated your life in an unhealthy way, is leading you to do things that are ultimately self-destructive, is causing you, you know...
affecting your career, maybe?
Yeah, exactly. It's causing you career problems, it's causing you life problems, it's causing you, you know, serious relationship or familial problems, affecting your life in a negative way, then much like the Alcoholics Anonymous definition of alcoholism, I would say that's a problematic expression of BDSM.
There are lots of alcoholics who don't realize that they have a problem and only cause problems for other people in their life, though. So what about people who don't think that they have a problem, but everyone else in their life thinks they have a problem?
I would agree that the same sort of situation can exist there, but fundamentally...
They're still causing harm to their relationships, they just don't know about
it. They've still crossed the line from healthy BDSM to unhealthy BDSM, which is they are not aware of.
Right, but the difference is that they no longer get to be the judge of that. Yeah. Like, we can no longer ask them, are you practicing safe BDSM?
People can always be trusted to be the judge of everything that they do, just like alcoholics.
That becomes a philosophical question, but as a libertarian, I would say fundamentally, even if, you know, you and I as outsiders think, oh, that person's not being unhealthy, if they think they're fine with it, then ultimately they should think that.
Yeah, like,
well,
there's a potential for to be abusive.
The difference between BDSM and abuse comes down to consent, 100%. And even if it's not self-harming, even if it's harmful, if it's something I would argue the same test still applies. You know,
mm-hmm.
If your sadism is something that brings you and your partner pleasure, then you don't have a problem. If your sadism is causing you to, you know, fuck up your life because you do with your partners or whatever other
mm-hmm.
But who gets to be the arbiter of whether or not somebody's life is problematic?
That is a question for philosophy.
Well, we are philosophizing, so I would figure on that note, I mean, obviously everyone wants their own morality, you know, moral compass.
Well, ideally, but we're discussing scenarios where people are causing harm to others and don't want to stop.
It's also true when we're playing with
that's
power.
We're talking about the psychopath.
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
true that if you're dealing with power exchange, it's very possible to get into weird scenarios where being submissive is less aware of the negative impacts on their life.
Mm.
This is true too, but a lot of times if you're in subspace, you don't really care until afterwards.
Mm.
So.
Mm.
Yeah.
Sorry.
We're fractioning off into our own private discussion.
Yes. Sorry.
Okay.
1, 2.
Okay, so I'll actually, that was...
Does that work?
I don't know.
You can pass it around to everybody else.
It can be the talking stick.
Y'all can hear me, right?
You guys can hear okay? Oh, we're here. Guys, I can drag that picnic stick.
Yeah, we'll do that.
All right.
My next thing is really very important to me. I need to make sure that I'm just not way, way out of here believing in love. I look at the world through the rose-colored glasses. And you step on me a million times. And like the fool that I am, I
should drive.
Yeah.
are we more secure in our relationship?
Well, having to ask your partner to do something that you want them to do, having to like go out there and say, could you please, you know, like pinch my ear, could you please swat my ass, or something that, you know, like something that they weren't already planning on doing, is putting yourself out there, you know, you're opening yourself up to a little bit of rejection and saying, oh, that's weird, why would you want me to do that, or whatever, you know.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
The fact that you're going out and having to do that and to do it regularly,
yeah,
if you want to be satisfied in your relationship, you can't just hope that everyone is telepathic.
Yeah.
Whereas in vanilla, that's kind of the default.
That's it, yeah. You should know that I love you. You should already know. How in the AT226 do I know if your ass is sitting watching Criminal Minds 24/7? And you don't say nothing to me.
It's a good show.
Oh, I know. That's what I used. I was going to use Duck Dynasty. I figured that was just a little too redneck. And showing you all. It makes me miss my in-laws. That's all.
You're playing Green to Crow.
There it is.
Yeah, you're just supposed to have a lot of trust for your partner in a vanilla relationship. That's the common thing that society says. You're supposed to trust in a vanilla partner. But you don't actually talk about anything, so to know why you're trusting.
You can't feel nothing.
You can't trust somebody if you don't talk to them.
That's
you don't
it.
Have the conversation. You're just trusting your imagined version of them in your head.
Yeah.
That may or may not actually reflect what they're like.
That's it. And you build nothing. You learn nothing.
Nothing.
About each other.
Relationships are based on communication, and in a normal relationship, you can communicate, but you can get away with not communicating a lot. BDSM forces a lot of people in BDSM relationships cannot be very good communicators because you have to. Whereas in a non-BDSM relationship, you still can. And some non-BDSM vanilla relationships have excellent communication, but they don't, not all of them do, because they don't have to get away with
nothing. It's the difference between the successful relationships, right? Like, not all successful vanilla relationships have open, honest, forthright communication, but all successful BDSM relationships have that.
Well, and that's the one, of the things that the study proves, is because we have to talk, like, everything. I was in a 24/7 relationship, and there wasn't a day that went by that I didn't talk to my manager, and he didn't talk to me. And, you know, there were times where I had to give up my life and allow him to correct me, and give him that total trust. And at night, when we went to bed, we talked about it. And he would ask me if he was too hard on the other girls. He would ask me if he was too hard on the other girls. Or like, my opinion matters. Mm-hmm. Where, you know, and again, this isn't all the vanilla relationships are bad. But just, you know, some are.
I'm vanilla.
I'm Loretta, how you do, vanilla? Oh, wait a minute, I'm Mocha. But this study shows that. You know? It shows that because we're so open and we talk about everything, that we have a lower stress level from rejection. Because you're used to having to put yourself out there.
I think there's also, maybe this is just my personal bias, but I feel as though in vanilladom, in heteronormativity, there's a sort of a presupposition that if you are partnered with somebody, then the two of you together should be able to weather any problem, you should be able to fill every need, you should not, like, if you have a fight, then there's something wrong with the relationship. Whereas I think in BDSM relationships, fighting is not considered a symptom of underlying dysfunction. It's just something that people do.
Yeah.
You have to come out.
Yeah. You have to fight for your right to party.
I don't fight for the right, I just do it.
Well, you, there you go. That's it.
And you don't believe it, and you don't fight for it.
I think you're more extrovert.
I don't even know what that means, honestly.
Well, I'm thinking out there, and that's a lot. Yeah.
Like, to say of a group of people that they are more extroverted...
That's it, like...
Well, it's a study, right? So it doesn't mean they're not extroverts, just like it doesn't mean there aren't people who badly communicate and
begin
to...
Well,
I guess it makes me wonder what they're using as a the definition for extroversion. Like, what did they mean? What was the question they asked?
I would also think that that's a factor of the self-selection thing. Because it's the people who want to go interact with people, the people who want to go interact with the study and hear...
Yeah, introverts are less likely to want to fill out a survey.
Yeah,
if they posted to a BDSM community in the first place, it's more likely they got people who are interested in being part of a community, period.
Yeah.
Which is more likely to include extroverts over introverts. It's also far more likely they included ethical kinksters over unethical kinksters. Because unethical kinksters don't last long in a group.
This depends on the argument that you decide to go on, right?
That was going to be my...
Oh, just because you're more extroverted, does that get associated with dominance more often?
Mm-hmm.
I think you're right. It's definitely... it is a thing. Definitely the case that a lot of people assume that dominance and extroversion go together, which is not necessarily the case.
No, because you might even just be enjoying playing a role that you normally don't.
I think that too.
You know, like, for a little while when I was younger, one of the things that was really interesting to me is that most of the guys that called up that were really interested would have which is funny in the sense that they're actually being dominant about the way that they want to be.
Power bottom.
Are you helping from the bottom? No?
Oh, it's a reflection. Okay, I thought it was
The other thing, too, is, of course, if you spend 10, 15, 20 years looking for somebody to fill that, you know, one relationship need that you've been looking for 20 years, and finally you're just like, fine, I'm going to call the goddamn sex line, you know?
You've
played it out 20 times in for 20 years in your head, you know exactly what you want right now.
I feel like there would be more of those people
using that
thing.
I guess that's true.
But they're not.
Yeah.
Are they
not? Or
they're
just
Well, I think they just use it to make studies sound.
To be fair, it doesn't mean that because they called you and they want to be submissive, that they're not dominant in other ways.
Exactly.
They can be dominant and extroverted in their day life and want to submit in their sex life.
Exactly, some kind of way.
Yeah.
Like I was saying,
yeah.
My husband's an introvert and I'm actually more submissive.
Exactly.
Sexually, but like in the world, you would probably think I would, you know, kind of awesome.
Well, I mean, there is a certain element of role reversal, right?
Wait a minute.
I don't. I'm also
I'm like, thinking of moving in a little box. So that...
you know, like, no matter how, like, mad or anything, or mad or anything,
oh, I
they're
see.
Jumping up and down, you can't really control them. I can't even do anything. So, you know, I have one little bit of pad work.
I'm now picturing your relationships as being relationships with Tamagotchi pets. I hit the feed button.
Another way of trying to hit it is, I hit the quad one. Anyways, Mocha, I think we've done the survey to death.
So how many people want upstairs opened up? It's a little cold, but...
So what was that, Mocha? So... So basically, I'll throw the lights on, and then
then you're happy and you know it, then you really want to show it, then you're happy and you know it, clap your hands.
You're happy and
you know it, clap your hands.
Okay. Wanna go turn the lights on? No, hold on, you look up.
If you're happy and you know it, then you really want to show it, then you're happy and you know it, clap your hands.
That was special. Did you two want to go join? Before I
move.
We can listen to them singing if you're happy and you know it's more to it's empty. I will take it to the recycling station.
Is that that hot? The hot sounds hot.
What is Sexy Bitch Bingo?
Sexy Bitch Bingo is a really fun game.
Is it bingo for sexy bitches? Or is it bingo with sexy bitches? Or bingo where you get a sexy bitch if you win?
It's bingo because
sexy bitch made it. Okay. It's bingo run by a sexy bitch.
Gotcha.
But do we also get a sexy bitch if we win?
Sure.
Okay.
If you're lucky and you know. it's like bingo. You get 5 squares down and draw, and you have all these little things you gotta do. You're gonna give a central hand massage.
It's that kind of bingo.
I
didn't get the chili thing, so I wasn't sure what you wanted to do with it. But I brought the rest of it in. Yeah, are we heading back to the tent?
Yeah. Okay, please pick up the guitar.
I'm helping you. Where? My guitar, I don't care. Every time you want it.
Sharp. Clear enough sharp.